Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
We begin with a giant thank you to everyone for listening to and supporting Kevin Keatsman Has Issues as we have now hit the 4 million download mark in less than 3 years, which is just shocking and unbelievable to me. And I don't want this to be self-serving or anything like that as we start here, but I just feel compelled when we hit these million marks to say thank you again. I probably don't thank you enough for all that you do listening and supporting the sponsors and spreading the word and, you know, making the difference in our communities and with elections and the way we decide to spend the money that we spend and supporting conservative businesses and causes and charity events. You folks are absolutely amazing. It just seems like it was yesterday that I started the first week of the podcast, not knowing really at all what I was doing, overdoing it, over editing it, taking way too long to put it together, trying to put too many pieces in it that weren't necessary. But I'll never forget the first day when we posted it. And I told Jessica about, there was a, you know, we were on this thing called Podbean, which I didn't know what Podbean is. I don't know how to upload a podcast to the web and get it on Apple. And I was terrified that nobody would listen, nothing would happen. And, you know, later that afternoon or evening, I looked at this thing and I said, you know what? We've had like 1,000 people listen already. I thought, how are they finding it? How do they know? How is this happening? But it is. And people were starting to hit the like button or the subscribe button. Not very many, but some did. Some of you were podcast pros right from day one and knew much more about podcasting than I did on day one. You're like, oh, okay, Kevin's doing a podcast. I'm going to follow this one, which means you're going to get notified. I didn't know anything about this on day one. I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew how to like broadcast, and I put it out there, and some people listened, and I'll never forget how excited I was when the first one hit 1,000. And it was just, I said, I have no idea, Jess. I don't know if that's good or not. Like, I literally don't know if 1,000 is good or not. I knew what the numbers were in radio and what was good and what wasn't. I had no clue. Well, it was a great first day. Let's put it that way. It would not be very acceptable now with what we're doing with 32,000 of you subscribing to this podcast, which is phenomenal. And now 4 million downloads. I never, ever, ever dreamed we would have numbers like that. Still having the time of our lives here, just enjoying the living daylights out of the content that we provide and the stories that we talk about, because there are no limits to what we can do right here. There is no filter and there are no limits. Many of you have expressed that you like that very much and you find it to be more interesting or informative than radio. I appreciate that. We're certainly not, you know, filled with the constraints that radio has and the program directors and the lawyers and the censoring and all the other things that happen in radio. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Jessica says thank you very, very much. It feels like a family and you're just amazing. That's it. I don't want to spend any more time on it because I don't want it to be all about that. We have a big, big story here to start the podcast today. And we tip our cap to Pete Mundo of KCMO Talk Radio 710, who had an amazing interview with Mayor Quentin Lucas on Thursday. They talked a lot about important things, taxes and things going on in Kansas City, Missouri, gun violence, things of that nature. That's not what we're going to focus on here. Here we focus toward the back end of the interview where Pete Mundo asks Mayor Q about the downtown ballpark. As you know, the Royals have said they're going to decide in September whether they want to build one in what they're calling the East Village, which is a bunch of empty parking lots on the bad side of downtown, on the east side, right by the Loop, or if they're going to go across to Clay County, across the river in North Kansas City, at about 18th and Fayette, which Jessica and I toured that area earlier this week, and it looks like a terrific place for a ballpark. To be honest, it's not going to provide the skyline view and some of the things we would hope for a downtown ballpark, and there's the challenges of crossing bridges to get there for a lot of the city. But it looks absolutely like a spectacular site, neighborhood, and area for something that feels a little Fenway Park, a little Wrigley Field. You know, there are businesses. It's a thriving area there. It's really a cool area. You put a ballpark in there, it's going to feel like something special. I'm starting to get a little psyched up about the North Kansas City location because that looks fun. That looks like you could park many, many blocks away and just make a day of it or a night of it and walk around and go to shops and businesses and the ballpark and the ballpark village and all those things and be in a really cool, unique area. And so Mundo, I think as much as anything, you know, he's going to ask the questions and he's great at what he does. But I don't think he knew that Mayor Q was ready to unload on John Sherman, the owner of the Royals. And Mayor Q does. He's pissed. Mayor Q is pissed at the Royals. He's pissed for having his spot downtown being played against him with Clay County across the river. And he's pissed that Clay County's talking about a 1 cent sales tax. Kansas City, Missouri, or Jackson County is offering up 0.375. And apparently Clay County is willing to put 1 cent sales tax on the ballot, which doesn't sound like much, but it is millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars over 40 years. 40 years. 1 cent sales tax, especially adding in all the business that's coming into the county by building this project, would be a huge sum of money that Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County will not be able to match. They won't. So we're starting to get kind of the hints, the financing. And in this clip I'm going to play for you, you actually hear the first figure about public investment, which I've not heard yet, and it's $500 million that the Royals want in some sort of tax revenue to put on the ballot. They want somebody to give them $500 million to build their stadium. This is a longer clip than we normally play on the podcast. It starts with Mayor Q. You can hear him getting pissier and pissier as he goes here. There's a follow-up question from Mundo, and in this you will hear the mayor of Kansas City call the owner of the Royals and their plan unseemly and bizarre and call him out, and the comparisons are unbelievable. This is rock star stuff. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
You know, I have talked to the Kansas City Royals. I think the Kansas City Royals are in a position where they need to figure out what they're going to do. And that's, you know, after a certain point, you know, we're all professionals here. I would expect them to actually come to some decision on what they're going to do. The announcement of no decision, you know, it is starting to feel like, you know, I'm trying to, and look, I like a lot of people there. I like John Sherman, don't get me wrong. But, you know, whenever people take forever to decide if they're going to run for president or something, I think Mario Cuomo was this back in 1992. I was very young, but like there's this will he or won't he and all of that. That tends to get old to me. And I think in the history and in the annals of American politics, it gets old to many. And you just want people to say, are you going to run or not? Right. It's probably like Governor Clinton found the breach back in 92, ran and all of that. Cuomo was kind of on the outside of it and ended up losing his gubernatorial seat a few years later. I guess right now I'm comparing the Royals to Governor Cuomo. And my thought would be the elder. Mm-hmm. And my thought would be, hey, let's just, what are you going to do? You figure out what you're going to do. You try to figure out how to pay for it yourself as much as possible. Go to whatever government entity you want to have as a partner. And that's how this thing should work. The sort of, you know, oh, we're not sure. Tell us more. Can we have a beauty contest? There are these letters. There are these back and forths between officials on both sides of the river. It's unseemly. It's unseemly. It is bizarre, frankly. It's something the likes of which I have not seen. And I grew up here back when, frankly, if you were in Kansas City in the 90s, you know, Mayor Cleaver and then Mayor Ed Eilert of Oakland Park could have some good back and forths on kind of the Johnson County and Kansas City, Missouri thing. But, you know, they were just kind of, I think, a little more professional with it. And I'd like to have that happen here. So I got no new comments on that. I guess they're going to decide in late September unless they send a letter deciding to do it later.
And do you feel like you're being pitted against Clay County in North KC, or do you just feel like you don't even really know where this process is? Or do you think it's like kind of they're pitting you against each other?
I think it's fair to suggest that, you know, there's some pitting of parties against one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's your romantic life, your business life, anything like that, if anybody's ever told you, hey, Pete, I'm going to, you know, we got a new great job for you. It's going to be either you or guy over there. Have fun. I'll let you know in a month. Mm-hmm. Even if, I guess, you sit back and not do anything, you kind of recognize what it is. And, you know, and I've said time and again, we're not playing with it. So it's not like in these conversations necessarily we're saying, oh, here you go. Here's $500 million of taxpayer money that we don't have. I mean, Kansas City is going to be open and public about it. Mm-hmm. And if the wish is, you know, and I just, look, I read the public news reports that you do. You know, if their wish is instead to go to Clay County for a one whole cent 40-year sales tax, which is my friend, kind of recognize what it is. And, you know, and I've said time and again, we're not playing with it. So it's not like in these conversations necessarily we're saying, oh, here you go. Here's here's $500 million of taxpayer money that we don't have. I mean, Kansas City is going to be open and public about it. Mm-hmm. And if the wish is, you know, and I just, look, I read the public news reports that you do. You know, if their wish is instead to go to Clay County for a one whole cent, 40-year sales tax, which is, my friends, astonishing. I mean, that's a heck of a number. You know, I guess maybe that's their prerogative and that's something they'll all discuss. And they'll look to run one heck of a campaign. If it's something simpler that looks like a continuation of the 3/8 cent sales tax in Jackson County, I do think, given the, our prior chat, that will be a real conversation with the people of Jackson County on the whole. And to the extent their infrastructure asks, either in Kansas City, really for either facility, because I'm hearing now that maybe if they go up north to North Kansas City, they still want enhancements in certain bridges that we help maintain. I'll remind you, Kansas City, Missouri taxpayers funded at least $60 million worth of the Buck O'Neill Bridge. That's a state project. We put a lot into it. And so I would expect that to be a strong conversation we have going forward. But I will always look to how we can be as fair as possible to our taxpayers.
Wow. I mean, that is stunning stuff. How about this, ladies and gentlemen? I agree with Mayor Q. I agree with him on everything that he said. The Royals are botching this from the start. They've botched it from the get-go. The media have blown this. The media have been running around for 2 years saying, oh, the stadium's going to be done by 2026 when the World Cup gets here. No, this is Kansas City. The current lease expires in 2030. If they get it done by then, it'll be a miracle. This is Kansas City. There is always a boondoggle before something happens. Always. The house of cards comes crumbling down in Kansas City before they figure out something and then do it. Now, to our credit, we've done most of the things right. I can't say Power and Light is right because it's going broke and the government subsidizes it, but T-Mobile Center's been a winner. The airport's a great build. We're doing good things. It's just so hard to get there. And of course, it always costs twice as much as they tell you. So yes, there are boondoggles in the end when we build cool things in this town. The problem is, you know, we like so many cities, we try to build things in certain areas where you just believe that's it's all supposed to be downtown or whatever. Well, it's really the worst place to develop in this city. You know, Panasonic's coming in building an $8 billion battery plant. They don't want it near downtown. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, we've had a boondoggle. I agree with Mayor Q. I don't agree with Mayor Q on a lot of things, but the Royals have been hacks on this. They've been hacks because they've never, ever said one thing about, hey, we need 500. They should have said right up front, we've got $1 billion, okay, for the private ballpark village around there. We're willing to put in, I don't know what the number is, $500 million ourselves because they've got a fund they can borrow from. We need $500 million public dollars for this stadium. They should have said this from the get-go. Then if they want to let municipalities or counties compete, let's go. Let's see what the number is. Mayor Q's frustration is they're just not telling us anything. They're pitting us against somebody, and we're not even having dialogue. I'm absolutely with Mayor Q on this. He said it gets old. I mean, that is a frustrated mayor. It also sounds like a mayor that knows he's beaten, that this thing is going across the river to Clay County. And in the end, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, for Kansas City, Missouri, right? Does it really matter whether it's in the East Village or whether it's across the river in North Kansas City? Again, I think the North Kansas City site looks like a much better place to go to a baseball game. But you don't get the downtown view. The ballpark village over there may put Power and Light out of business. It may. They build that thing over there. That North Kansas City may become the destination in Kansas City. Forget the plaza. Forget Westport. Forget Power and Light. Forget the River Market. That will be the place to go. It will. Go drive through it sometime. Go down where North Kansas City Dental is. They're about Armour and Swift, okay? And then go down, is it Armour? Go down Armour just a little bit east, and you get down there to Fayette, and you take a right and go south and look at all that empty land there. But then go around all the little areas around that empty land and see the really, they've got a brewery right by there. There's a couple of cool little restaurants. There's an ice cream place. There's all the stuff. It's a really cool area. It really is. And you can envision building a ballpark village and integrating that right there and all the other buildings around there. Some of them have already been turned into lofts. There's about a 12-story building that's been turned into lofts. You can see places where there are little warehouse buildings that you could level those and build condominiums. I could see high-rise condominiums being built around that ballpark. that on one side of your condominium, you would have a view into the stadium, and the other side of your condominium, you would see across the river to downtown. I'm telling you that and I'm not a real estate guy, but it doesn't take much to go there and go, wow, they could really do something great right here. There's plenty of land. It's really cool. There's already stuff there and infrastructure and roads, and there's it looks really good. And until I really toured it this week, I thought, oh, okay, North River, that sounds like leverage. Well, no, not now. I can see it. And private developers could come in and build condos and apartments outside. If they face the ballpark a little bit toward downtown, in a way, you could build condominiums around this thing that would look in the stadium and across the river. If you're up high enough, not the first three or four floors, you start building 16-story condominium buildings or higher, you're going to have wonderful balconies and views of the ballpark and of downtown. It's absolutely doable. So I sense the mayor's frustration. I get it, and I'm with him. I rarely agree with Mayor Quentin Lucas, but I am spot on with him today. Unbelievably, the Royals have won 6 games in a row. They win again on Thursday, and Brady Singer is just a beast. I'm telling you, and the most frustrating part of this entire season for the Royals for me was that when they really stunk earlier this year, every 5 days, Brady Singer didn't come out and end the madness because the dude is just flat out unhittable. His fastball has more movement on it than any pitcher I've seen this year. And he was just flat unhittable again on Thursday. 8 scoreless innings, looks like a Cy Young guy, looks like potentially a Cy Young guy. I think the Royals have to consider, if they want to make a statement in this town and build a ballpark, they better consider signing him long-term and taking away a couple of his free agent years. They better consider Bobby Witt Jr. right now. Bobby Witt Jr. is the superstar in Major League Baseball right now. He is white hot. 3-for-4 on Thursday, another home run. He also had a walk. He was part of maybe the best double play in all of baseball this year. Ridiculous. Ridiculous Mahomes-looking play by Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals are 11-6 in their last 17 games at home. They just had a 6-0 homestand. It's only the 5th time in team history they've ever done that. They spanked the Mets 9-2. This was a complete and utter beatdown. It is amazing how good a baseball team looks when your starting pitcher goes out there and just manhandles the other team. The game looks so easy when you do that. And Brady Singer looks like he is about to finish this year on a roll. I think his earned run average at home this year, for the year, including the bad games, something right around 2. It may be under 2 now. I think it was 2.2 something going into this game. He just threw another 8 scoreless innings on that mark. He's a really, really, really outstanding pitcher at home, and he should be. His downfall has been giving up a home run, and they're just harder to hit at Kauffman Stadium. Wow, do they look good when they play well, and wow, is baseball fun. They're headed off to Philly, and Philly's pretty good, so I'm going to guess that this streak is going to be over, and I don't think anything's lasting here. But there are pieces. Like, Brady Singer looks like the kind of guy that could start an All-Star game, and Bobby Witt looks like the kind of guy that could bat third in the All-Star game. They do. They've got that kind of talent. The Royals have to harness that, and it has to be out there on a regular basis. It can't be we're taking the first 2 months of the season off and stinking, and now all of a sudden, oh, it's warm, it's summer, and Bobby Witt Jr. is the best hitter in baseball, and nobody can get him out, and Brady Singer can't be touched. It's great. These guys got to become professionals and do this over the course of a season, and they haven't been able to do that. But doggone it, it is fun. It is absolutely fun to watch winning baseball. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Back9development.com. Your custom home builder or commercial property. Hey, listen, you want to think about some property downtown? If this is your industry or you know people in this industry, get down there and start looking around at real estate. Because if the Royals are going to be in North Kansas City, there's going to be wonderful opportunities to buy land, buy buildings, and build your dream there, whether it's a condominium project, a commercial business, or a home for yourself. Back9development.com would love to work with you. You dream it, they develop it. TJ Vilkanskis would love to meet with you and see if your goals match. Just give him a call and he'll come meet you anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, or Manhattan. 785-236-0161. It is back9development.com. Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. Why wait 3 weeks for an MRI or a CT scan when you can get in today? They'll take your insurance, They'll work with your insurance. If your doctor says go get a scan, just go to medimagekS.com. Or you can call them and make your appointment for today or tomorrow. 785-856-0224. That's 785-856-0224. They also offer the heart scan out of pocket, okay, for under $100. Get your plaque score on your heart. We've had a couple people email already and say it's been a life-changing event to go there and get this scan done, and they found things they didn't know they had, and it has really benefited them or their spouse. Heart scans, very important. You see, they see all the organs in your torso. It's less than $100. I have no idea why insurance doesn't cover it, but they don't. It takes 5 minutes once you're there. It's the biggest machines. It's non-invasive. You don't even take your shirt off. It's so easy. MedImageKS.com. And Mark Lindquist and his team at 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. The difference here, price obviously is the difference. He's going to save you money. Everybody loves saving money. It's customer service. Absolute customer service anywhere in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma. If you have business machines at your office, copiers, printers, voiceover IP, any types of different phone systems and things like that, they can install but service. They can get you out of the leases you're in right now and get you in something for a lower price. And they are right here in our community servicing all across Missouri and Kansas and into parts of Oklahoma. 360documentsolutions.com. Just call the owner himself. Call and ask for Mark. 913-745-5344 for 360 Document Solutions. Chiefs camp continues. We've got some, not really a report, some chatter from ESPN. A reporter from ESPN was on a podcast and said they are talking directly with somebody who's in the discussions between the Chiefs and Chris Jones. We believe Chris Jones is going to report to camp and play regardless of what happens. But Chris Jones is probably taking the posture of, I don't get a new deal now, I'm going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And I'm just going to go to the open market and see what I can get. But this person from ESPN was saying they've talked to somebody who's in there and that the sides are, that it's amicable. The discussions are ongoing. Chris Jones is asking, Aaron Donald's the highest paid defensive tackle. He makes $31 million a year. The second highest paid defensive tackle is $24 million a year. And according to this ESPN reporter, Chris Jones wants something between that. Somewhere between $24 and $31 million. That he's not saying, hey, pay me more than Aaron Donald. Although at this point, with two Super Bowl rings and the impact that he has, you might even consider that Chris Jones is more impactful than Aaron Donald. Not necessarily saying he's a better player. I'm just saying the results are better. And scoreboard's everything. So I don't know what we're looking at here. $25, $28 million a year. That seems reasonable to me, but that is a lot for the Chiefs. They're not paying Kelce top market. They're not paying Mahomes top market. And so Chris Jones, I think, is saying, look, you don't have to pay me what you're paying Aaron Donald because we all like playing here, and this is a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of things, think about this. You have a job opportunity. And you're going to work for $5 million a year less than somebody else who's not as good as you or doesn't win as much as you because you like where you work? Yes, this will be a life-altering money. Chris Jones is already a very wealthy man, and it's an insane amount of money. But think about what people leave off the table. You know, we talked about Tyreek Hill. In total, if Tyreek Hill stayed and not gone to Miami, he would have left $30 million off the table. $30 million. Now, is he a really wealthy man either way? Yes. But who just gives away $30 million? Teams don't do that. They ask players to do it all the time. And to this point, it has worked for the Chiefs. At some point, that bridge is going to collapse. That can't sustain itself. Winning is fun. Your teammates are great. You're getting rich having the time of your life. But man, if Chris Jones can go out on the free agent market next year and make $30 or $40 million guaranteed in total, more than he would by signing with the Chiefs right now. Think about that, folks. Yeah, okay, you're going to make $80 million either way, but what if you can make a $115? You're just going to walk away from $35 million? It's a tough call, man. It's a really tough call, so I understand Chris Jones' position, but it's being discussed that it is ongoing and it's okay. On yesterday's podcast, if you listened, I said I don't like to jump all in on players that don't have any track record when they're in training camp, and it sounds like they're doing great. We were talking about wide receiver Justin Ross, who's having a tremendous training camp, and the Chiefs are very excited about him. And I said, I remember the running back many years ago that, oh my God, it was going to, this was the next Marcus Allen for crying out loud. I mean, the Chiefs had a superstar in their hands. He was so great. And I couldn't remember the name. And so I got about 50 emails from you yesterday saying it was Jesse Haynes. That's who you're trying to remember, Kevin. It was Jesse Haynes. That is correct. Do you remember a player named Jesse Haynes and the hype around him and how great he was going to be? Didn't really materialize. It was about the time the Chiefs did have, it was definitely after. Was it after the time? It was after the time the Chiefs had Joe Montana. Joe Montana was one of the highlights of my entire broadcasting career and journalism career. I was assigned at Channel 4 to the Joe Montana story on whether or not the Chiefs would get him or the Arizona Cardinals would get him. And we would fly the helicopter around. Like, Joe Montana came to town. They picked him up at the airport. They put him in a limousine. We're literally in the helicopter following the limousine. I can't even explain what television news was then compared to what it was today. There was no Twitter. There was no following it live on your phone. There was none of that stuff. So we were it. And it was cool. And I got a raise at the television station. They gave me an in-house award. I was nominated for an Emmy for the coverage. All kinds of cool stuff happened in my career because Joe Montana came here. So it was great. And I always thought Joe Montana is a lot nicer guy than the Chiefs are letting him be. When he came here, he was the biggest star in the NFL. The Chiefs protected and guarded him at every turn. They kept people around him. They didn't want the media getting to him. They wanted him sheltered. They didn't want him to feel like this was overwhelming. They wanted to make him comfortable. And so I always thought, well, this is just a regular guy that doesn't really need the Chiefs to do this because I think we will all like him and he would all like us if we just kind of got to know him a little bit, which in those days you got to do with the athletes, but the Chiefs wouldn't allow it. And so in their own weird way, it maybe kind of overwhelmed Joe that they protected him as much. Like, they walked him around the hallways and stuff. They kept him away from everybody. He was guarded, man. It was crazy. But I learned one time about how cool of a guy Joe Montana was, that he was just a regular Joe. This was either, I don't know if it was his first or second year in Chiefs training camp, because I just don't remember stuff like that. It must have been the first, because it stands out so vividly. And we're in River Falls. And one night during camp each year, Marty would give the team the evening off. They normally had meetings until 8 o'clock, 8:30. They would give them off, and they'd have bed check at 10 or 10:30. There was often an hour or an hour and 15-minute gap, and the dorms were really close to a place called Bose and Mine. There were a couple of other bars in River Falls. And a lot of players had bicycles, and they would run down. They'd bike down as quickly as they could to Bose and Mine and slam two or three beers and then go back for curfew and go to bed. No harm. Marty figured nobody can get in trouble in an hour. Good enough. We're not going to have guys barfing out on the practice field in the morning. These were the days of two-a-days, and it was a grind. It was hard. But the players would always pour into these bars. We'd be there. We'd be there having dinner or something, watching a Royals game on TV, and the players would come in, and it was always the same 10 or 12 players, and they'd be in there for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and gone. And we'd, of course, still be there because it's only 9:45. We have nothing to do. We're going to go back to Super 8, just sit in the room. So we're shooting pool, playing darts, doing whatever. One night during camp every year, he gave them the night off. A lot of them would go to Indianapolis. The limousines would show up. You know, they'd drive all Minneapolis was 45 minutes away or farther, wherever they were going. So it was going to be a night out. You weren't getting home until really late. There was no curfew, but there was, you know, a meeting in the morning or a walkthrough. It would never be a hard practice in the morning. It was something pretty easy. And he'd give them a night off, and they'd go do this. And so we're hanging out our regular deal. We're at Bose and Mine. And in walks Joe Montana and the entire offensive line. And he walks up to the edge of the bar, to the regular bartenders in there. He goes, and he said something to him, and the bartender just started shuffling people around the bar. There was only five or six people sitting at the bar. We weren't sitting there. And he moves them all to kind of one area, and he clears out a whole L-shaped part of the bar, and the entire offensive line and Joe Montana all sit down. Joe goes to the very end, up by the end of the bar. It's a U-shaped bar up by where the bartender station would be. And he's got a T-shirt on and faded jeans, and he's just a guy in a bar. And you would never know. I mean, these were all just dudes in bars wearing T-shirts. And Joe sits in there for a couple hours and buys him drinks. Well, it quickly gets out and around River Falls. Again, not social media, but just buzzing. People started calling, you know, going to the payphones and calling, hey, Joe Montana's here. About an hour and a half later, the whole town of River Falls is in Bozeman. There's a line out the door of 50 people. Joe ain't going anywhere. He's in for the night with his offensive linemen. They're one by one coming up to him. And, you know, he politely asked the first couple people no autographs, but he sat there and he chatted with them and was kind and nice and couldn't have been more generous and was with his offensive linemen of a good time. And people treated him well. There were no iPhones to take pictures and whatnot. But you just sat there and you watched this iconic figure that was larger than life that they protect right and left. And Joe Montana did just fine on his own. He was just a regular guy. Really, truly regular guy that whole night. And none of it really bothered him. None of it. None of it bothered him. So it was not a surprise to me when I heard this story yesterday. Jessica pointed this story out to me. She does a great job co-producing the podcast. Joe Montana and Jennifer Montana sat down recently with NFL Films and started talking about their lives, their careers, whatever. And this clip has now gone viral that Joe Montana, one time fairly early in his career with the 49ers, is on the road and he's waiting to go out and take the field to stretch or whatever. So let's imagine it was a noon game. This is probably like 10:30 a.m. or something like that. And he's walking over on the sideline and he sees the phone that, you know, you call upstairs to the press box and talk to the offensive coordinator. And he picks it up and he thought, let's see what happens if I dial 9. Kids, once upon a time, there were landline phones. And in order to get a line out, you had to hit the number 9. And then you'd get a dial tone, what's called a dial tone. And then you could dial anybody you wanted. Well, lo and behold, Joe's at a game on the road and he picks up the phone and hits 9 and he gets a dial tone. And he calls home and Jennifer answers. And he talks to her and she goes, where are you? He goes, I'm on the field. He says, I've always wondered if these phones dial out. And he starts talking to her from right there on the field before the game. And apparently Joe Montana started doing this in every single road stadium to find out if the phones on the sidelines dialed out. And he called Jennifer Montana all through the years, and presumably in Kansas City when he was with the Chiefs. When he went out on the road, he would call home to his wife if they weren't there or call somebody else. Anytime he could dial 9 and get an outside line, Joe Montana did that his entire career. That is awesome. That is an awesome story. I just love that about him. I called the Royals bullpen one time in Minneapolis. It's many years ago. I was over at my mom's house watching the Royals with her. And there was it was before Ned Yost, I think. I don't know who the manager would have been. Trey Hillman, Buddy Bell, somebody like that. And the Royals are playing at Minnesota. And on the back wall of the dugout, it says bullpen. And then it says 555-1212. Well, it wasn't that. It was a different number. But it didn't have the area code. It just had the 7-digit number. And I'm like, dang, that's the bullpen number. So I look up the Minneapolis area code, and I add that to it, and I call it, and I get the Royals bullpen coach on the phone from my mom's house. I said, hey, dude, this is Kev. My mom's here. You know, we're just chatting away, looking at the bullpen phone number on TV, and I thought we'd give you a call. Click. Woo, old school phones, baby. So fun. Kansas basketball is playing exhibition games, preseason games, whatever you want to call them, in Puerto Rico. They played Puerto Rico Select on Thursday and won 106-71. Hunter Dickinson is the story of the year in college basketball this year. All right, as he goes, the Jayhawks will go. I think he's got a chance to be National Player of the Year. And maybe have the best season of any big man that Bill Self's ever had, and that is saying a lot. Because Bill Self and big men are one and the same. He is great with big men. This one's already polished when he showed up. Hunter Dickinson, the transfer from Michigan, scores 13 points in 21 minutes, grabs 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He did miss 7 shots, many of them down low. Bill Self said he was tight. But Hunter Dickinson's out there running the floor with the Jayhawks. And I think he's going to be just a tremendous player this year. And I think he will be the story, like maybe the only story of Kansas basketball this year. As he goes, if he has a great year, the Jayhawks are going to be incredibly hard to beat. Our news today is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, right where they want to build the ballpark in North Kansas City at Armour and Swift. Dr. Bill Bush can be your new dentist. Why wouldn't you make the switch to somebody you know that is a great American patriot, conservative, and they don't wear masks at their office. And they never did. They didn't require you to do any of that stuff. Because that's Dr. Bush. This is where you want to go to the dentist. 816-471-2911. They take care of emergencies. If you have pain, they'll get you right in. If you're looking for something more long-term, like cosmetic dentistry or crowns, veneers, TMJ treatment, or teeth whitening. They do all that as well. NKCDental.com in Westwood, Kansas, and of course, North Kansas City at 816-471-2911. MyPillow.com, you know all the specials. You see them all the time. They got the four-pack right now for $99. They have incredible mattress toppers. They have sheet sales going on. They're giving away the slippers. Winter's coming. They're still giving away last year's slippers. They're like $9. Ridiculous prices. Also, MyStore.com, which is all kinds of different conservative businesses like the KK List. We do the KK List, so you know where all our sponsors are. TheKKList.com. There's also MyStore.com, which is Mike Lindell's website that has a boatload of different conservative businesses. You want to shop conservative? Go to thekklist.com. Go to mystore.com. Please use the promo code KKHI if you go to mystore.com or if you go to mypillow.com. That's all we ask. Plug in that promo code and you will save big. There is no bigger discount anywhere on either website than KKHI. And the weekend is upon us. It's going to be a great Saturday to get into Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. The jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. They will clean or repair your jewelry sometimes while you shop or while you wait. Service is everything. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. On to the news, and Trump was in court on Thursday. We're getting a little tired of some of the Trump indictment, arraignment news, but this was a little different on this occasion. Trump goes into D.C., goes into the courtroom, and here's how you know this is not a real story. Like, I'm going to give you a half a dozen reasons today why this is not even remotely legitimate, what they're doing to him now. This is a free speech case that Trump can't say publicly that I think I won the election. Well, the Democrats did that in 2016. There's one reason. More on that in a moment. Trump goes into the courtroom and the judge is late. The judge is late. So the judge is already playing games. There's no way you're late to this. You're doing that on purpose. That was not an accident. That was not, oh, I'm too busy. That was, screw this guy. I'm going to make him wait. That's exactly what it was. Then she comes in and does not address him as President Trump. She addresses him as Mr. Trump. Leaves President out on purpose because two reasons. One, probably the biggest, it is a massive insult to him. She's poking him with a stick. And two, she doesn't like saying it because she hates him. Okay, this is the judge. First thing you know, I'd appeal this thing somehow and throw it out. This judge walked in with an attitude and hates me. The judge hates me coming in, period. Second thing happened, Jack Smith comes in. Jack Smith's the special counsel. And he wasn't the person doing the lawyering in this. He's sitting behind the lawyers. Who'd he bring with him? Who did Jack Smith bring with him for this show trial? You ready for this? This is a joke. He brought his parents. Little man brought his parents to see Trump. Yeah, it's a circus. Look who I just wrangled into court, Mom and Dad. Look how cool your son is. I just got Trump in here. Are you kidding me? We have a judge that's late on purpose, will not refer to him as President Trump, and a special counsel who brought his parents to show and tell. Freaking show and tell. This is an absolute joke. New York Times ran a story, said the charges are weak, can't prosecute them. Everybody's running stories saying, even if they do, it'll get appealed. The Supreme Court could fast track this because it's a president at any moment's notice and it will all be dropped. Do not worry about Trump going to jail. The Supreme Court will stop all that. Unless the conservative justices die, then you may have a problem. Scott Walker, the former governor of Wisconsin, perhaps made the most cogent points of all about all of this. He was on a podcast this week and said, well, okay, you're arresting Trump for this. Let's go find a district court somewhere with a DA and a conservative judge, and let's arrest Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer. And the podcast host says, how are you going to do that? And Scott Walker said, well, Steve Scalise got shot at a softball practice where a madman came with an assault rifle and started shooting at Republican congressmen who were getting ready for the annual softball game. And this person was one of Bernie Sanders' staffers, a former staffer from his campaign that Bernie Sanders had ginned up into a wild frenzy to where he went and got a gun and started shooting Republicans. Can arrest Bernie Sanders on that, can't we? Oh, but we didn't. Chuck Schumer, what was his quote? "We're coming after you," unquote. After Roe v. Wade was overturned. "We're coming after you." Then what happened? Man shows up at Brett Kavanaugh's house with rifles and guns, is caught before he does anything, but goes, flies across the country, lands in D.C., goes to Kavanaugh's house with armed with weapons to kill Kavanaugh and doesn't get it done. Then what happened? The justices all had demonstrations on their property outside their houses, blocking their driveways, creating a security nightmare for Supreme Court justices because Chuck Schumer said, "We're coming after you." They didn't get arrested. Scott Walker's kind of out of politics, isn't he? He makes a lot of sense. I always liked Scott Walker, and he's making a lot of sense here. You can't threaten, intimidate, and try to assassinate a Supreme Court justice, and that's not a crime because Chuck Schumer spurred that on, but Donald Trump's over here at arraignment. This is all the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. It's hard to even talk about it. It's such a joke. It really, truly is. But if you, ultimately, if you start talking with your friends about this case, you say, look, if you think these charges are real, the judge was late on purpose, she won't call him President Trump, and the special counsel brought his parents to show and tell to see Trump in his courtroom. That's all you got to know. Let's forget the legal wrangling, all this other stuff you're watching, all these legal scholars. This is why you listen to this podcast, okay? I'm going to reduce it down to terms of where most Americans think, live, and work, all right? It's a show trial. That's all it is. It's a showcase. There's nothing to this. You know there's nothing to it because he brought his mommy and his daddy to show and tell. Embarrassing. I mean, these people, they're starstruck. Let's be honest, they're starstruck. They all are. They got Trump derangement syndrome. He's the biggest star in the world, and they know it. Donald Trump's the most famous man on the planet. And they know it. It drives them absolutely crazy. Wow, here's a story from David Garrow, who's an Obama biographer. He did an interview about his book coming out and said Obama in college had a girlfriend named Alex McNear. And he used to send letters to her. This would have been the 80s. He sent letters to his girlfriend. And in some of the letters, he would, quote, repeatedly fantasize about sex with men. Whoa. Alex McNear sold these letters to Emory University. According to David Garrow, the biographer, Emory University has all these letters, but they're under lock and key and they ain't ever letting them out, which means Obama got to them somehow. But somebody at one point got into Emory University and they said, no pictures, but you can take a pencil and a piece of paper and write down what's in the letters. You could view them and do that. And at one point, somebody did that, and that's where they got these quotes that she'd written back or something, and he wrote in these letters, repeatedly fantasized about sex with men, he would tell his college girlfriend. Meow, can I? You want me to say it. I know you do. You want me to. I'm going to do it. This is unbecoming. This is not me, but I'm going to say it. You know what I'm going to say. You know you want me to say it. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. But I would say it to Jessica, so I'll say it here. Well, this explains where he married Michelle. God. She looks like a tight end. A football player. Just got myself in trouble there. Seen the shoulders on that girl in the back? Oh my God. This explains so much about Barack Obama. He is not the God everybody thinks he is. He is not. He's not because they're freaks. They're freaks. Liberals are freaks. I'm sorry. They're just freaks. They're freaks. I got caught on my phone looking at this last night. I got in trouble for this one, but God, it was worth it. I stumble across this thing every now and then. You're on Twitter and you're like, oh, this is a retweet. I'm like, not very often you see somebody in news retweeting like a picture of a beautiful woman. That's not something that really happens. Like politics people or news people. Like, what is this? You know, sometimes that stuff will pop up, an influencer or something will pop up on you. It's not nudity. It's not porn. Come on. It's just like the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in a bikini. And so I'm scrolling, and of course you're scrolling through, you see it, and you're like, oh, what's this? I'm like, oh, this is a retweet with a quote. And the guy explains what this says, do not be fooled. So I start researching this more and more, and now I'm really getting in trouble on my phone. Because you've heard of OnlyFans, you know about influencers, you know about Livy Dunn, the gymnast at LSU, who makes $6 million a year or something, just posting things on her social media site because she gets so many followers. Guys are getting in on this. Now, some of these are women, but guys are getting in on this. This was a retweet of the most beautiful woman you've ever seen saying, don't be fooled, guys. This isn't real. This is artificial intelligence. A man is running this site. He's created this woman, and he's going to put all kinds of pics up, bikini pics, not nudity, bikini pics. Hey, I'm at the golf course swinging, hitting golf balls. Look at me bending over to pick up my ball. You've seen this crap, right? You've seen all of it, right? It's PG or PG-13 eye candy for guys. You can create this with AI. As I researched more, I found a woman named Karen Marjorie. She's an influencer. She's already got a bunch of people, and she's not an ugly woman, but she's not like one of these. She's not Livy Dunn. I don't know how she's an influencer. I think she's one of these chicks that shows you how to put makeup on and stuff like that. So she's likable and she's got all these followers. So she's created an alter ego now because I think most of her followers might be women. Now she's like, oh, I've created this new character in my sphere. And I forget what the name of this new person is. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. It's just like, if you're just going to draw it up, wow. And she's done that. And it's AI and it's all fake. And she's going to get more and more followers. She's going to go to OnlyFans. She's selling subscriptions. This girl is the girl next door. Okay, what they're doing is they're tapping into kind of a PG, almost G-rated thing. This is, again, not porn, but how far behind is that? That's coming. It's stunning. It's real. You're like, nope, this isn't a real person. Well, he sure looks real. It's AI. I'm scared to death for the human condition. I really am. I told my buddies when Apple came out with the $3,000 goggles, they're like, oh, it's going to be so, you know, they're hearing people, who's going to pay $3,000 for this? I mean, what kind of video gamer, that loser boy that sits in his basement, you know, in his mom's basement and plays video games all day is going to spend $3,000 on these goggles? I said, you're getting the wrong idea, boys. Those goggles are all about women. The men are going to buy them because the women are going to be, they're going to be immersed in women on those goggles in any way they want, whether it's this G-rated stuff or hardcore. They'll be able to put anything they want on those goggles, and it'll be artificial intelligence going to take it over. Oh, boy. We are literally creating a human condition where humans don't interact. We're doing that. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how beautiful this, I'd say girl, because sometimes you think woman, you think like this big, voluptuous, this was like the girl next door. She looked like maybe she's 19. You know, something like that. It's like, oh boy, it's there. Anything they want it to be, it will be there. And we'll be here as long as you keep supporting great businesses, great conservative businesses like Fry Orthodontics with 13 locations in and around Kansas City. Your smile is just the start. Your appointment is absolutely free at Fry Orthodontics. Schedule it. Get a consultation and see what they can do for your smile at fryorthodontics.com. Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Now with an outdoor furniture sale, 72 months, 0% financing. It's an extravaganza of outdoor furniture at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. Again, 72 months, 0% interest. That's good in Kansas City, St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. And bstock.net is, they mean business. Make an offer on a refrigerator or washer or dryer. They have to get rid of their appliances. They need room in their warehouse, and they're giving these things away. They'll deliver, they'll set up, they'll do anything you ask. You call them and say, hey, you really need me to take those off your hand? I'll do it. If you're a builder or an apartment owner or something like that, and you got to change out some appliances, you will never beat this. Never. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. I have two finals. The first is just very short. The third song from the Turnpike Troubadour's new album was released today. It is called Brought Me. It's got a little Louisiana Cajun flavor to it. And of course, it is the song on their new album that is not out yet. It'll be out in 3 weeks. That sings about Tulsa. Because they always have a song on every album about Tulsa. So I love that. And I love them. They got three songs from their new album out. Chipping Mill is the one that you may hear on the radio. It's called Chipping Mill. You want to listen to a great song? Chipping Mill is my recommendation this weekend. Chipping Mill, Turnpike Troubadours. Then our final is Louisiana State football coach Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's keeping it real, man. I like Brian Kelly. I do. He's a good football coach. He's got a great chance at LSU to do great things. He does. And he basically came out this week and said, you know what? These idiot coaches that run around and keep these injuries quiet, it's a joke. They're stupid. That's dumb. Here's our policy going forward at LSU. I will give you three injury reports every week, and we will rate players as probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. We'll also list the injury. Sometimes it'll be vague. Sometimes we may say upper body injury. But we're going to tell you like what it is, typically. He said, this is stupid. We're going to do it twice during the week, and we'll do it on game day and let you know why somebody isn't playing or what they're dealing with or whatever on Saturdays. Thank you, Brian Kelly. That's awesome. That's a good reason to like LSU. I need to get to a game there. I have not been there, and I hear it is just absolutely remarkable. So I would love to go. So a Saturday night game in Baton Rouge would be pretty darn cool. Go, Brian Kelly. Go, LSU. And you go off to your weekend and have a great one. I'm headed to Manhattan for a golf tournament at Colbert Hills. Looking forward to seeing Jim Colbert and some other friends that we have in the Manhattan Junction City area. That's going to be a good time, so we're very much looking forward to that. You have a great, great weekend. The patron post will be out here on Friday, not Saturday. So if you're a patron and you're hearing this, you'll be getting that in your inbox today and not on Saturday because we're rolling out of town later today. And we just hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much for supporting Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.